Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I am glad that you're with us today. I'm really glad because we are just working our way through the prologue of John 1, John chapter 1, 1 through 18, and it's just, I think it's getting richer and richer. So I am glad that you're with us today. We're going to talk about John 1, 11, where the Holy Spirit through John writes, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Did not receive him. What does it look like to receive Jesus? We'll get to that in just a moment. Let me just first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. You can find out about 721 Ministries and all we do around the state of South Carolina at our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. We have past radio shows archived on that site, and you really want to pick up these recent shows to walk with us over these last few weeks as we went through John 1, 1 through 18, this incredibly rich prologue that John started his gospel with. 721ministries.org. We've got other things on that website. We've got exercises. We've got charts and graphs. So check that out at 721ministries.org. And then we have a sister website, puttinggreenblog.com. Puttinggreenblog.com. We publish our weekly devotionals, blog posts on that site. We've got two devotional books, the Putting Green devotional books, Volume 1 and Volume 2. They make great Christmas presents. They are not written solely for men. When we write these, we try to write them for all audiences. 721 is a men's ministry. But check us out at puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com, and check out our new books there. I think you'll enjoy it. And while I'm talking about our websites, I just want to mention to you John Judy at Touchpoint Energized Communications. John Judy at Touchpoint Energized Communications has reworked my website and made it brought it up to date. And giving it a lot of pizzazz to it. It's much easier to work with. He's a really competent website designer. He does a lot of other things, but his website and digital marketing work is great. He's easy to work with. He's very bright. Touchpoint Energized Communications, John Judy. His number is 864-363-5982. 363-5982. Does a great job. TouchpointTech.com. TouchpointTech.com. Okay. John 1. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Well, I tell you, the Holy Spirit packs a wallop in these verses, John 1, 11 through 13. And we're going to take two shows to tease this out because there's so much depth here. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, before we start teasing out what does it look like to receive Jesus, and when we do, we'll break it down into the big receiving of Jesus, as in your salvation, and then all the many opportunities you have as you grow closer to him to open up and receive him into the various areas of your life. Before we get into that, I just want to pause and ask a couple of questions. John writes, Holy Spirit guides him to write, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Stop the presses. Stop the presses. Is there anything in that statement that shocks you? Because I can promise you, if 90% of the people sitting in church or in South Carolina or in the South who were raised in the Christian culture of the South really understood what they're reading and didn't gloss right over it, they would be shocked. He gave the right to become children of God. Well, does that mean that until you're born again, you're not a child of God? Yes. That is exactly what it means. That is what the Holy Spirit is telling you. That is what John is saying. You are not born a child of God. Now, I know that might rock somebody's world. It would rock a lot of people I know's world. And whenever I bring it up, they cannot believe it. As a matter of fact, that's fighting material right there. You can go to fisticuffs over something like that. My dear mother, whom I love and adore, I don't believe she would accept that, that you're not born a child of God. Because of course we are. We're in the South. We were raised in a Christian church. Our parents were Christians for the vast majority of the people that were raised in the South. John says that Jesus has to give you the right to become a child of God. Now, let me be sure you understand. You are born loved by God. He loves you, but you're not in His family. You're not born a child of God. It should be clear to us, as Jesus teases this out when He's talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answers, "Very truly I tell you, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water," that's your first birth, that's when you come out physically, "and the Spirit." Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. You're not born a child of God. That is a major statement that John is making there that would shock and upset a lot of people. If you are His child, you may have missed that. But it's there. And if you are His child, you understand exactly what He's saying because you realize there was a point where you probably, well, you will not His child. But why doesn't John just stop there? Why does he feel the need to delineate what it does not look like to become a child of God? Why does he feel the need to go into detail just in case you got confused on this? You could hear John saying, let me show you what it does not look like, how you do not become a child of God. So he gives us three scenarios. And 2,000 years ago, he captured the present-day Southern Christian culture. Precisely. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or husband's will. Children born not of natural descent. Jesus just said that. He said you have to be born of water. That's your first birth. That's your natural descent. And the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Natural descent gives birth to natural descent, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. When he says children born not of natural descent, here's what we hear, that I hear because I'm in the business. I've been a Christian all my life. I was born a Christian. No, you were not. And if you think that, you probably are not a born-again Christian, because the born-again Christians I know they were not born a Christian. They were born again a Christian. I'm just repeating Jesus' words to you. Don't get upset with me. Well, it's probably a good idea for you to get upset. Because if you're getting upset, then he's stirring in your heart and your soul. I was born a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. I was raised by Christian parents. I went to the Christian church. My grandmother had me there every Wednesday night. No. John is making sure that does not qualify. Children born not of natural descent. Literally, the scripture is reading, not of blood. Not of blood. And that's what Jesus is saying. You got the natural birth? No. Blood and water? No. Has to be a spiritual birth. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision. And this literally is the will of the flesh, or the will of self. Nor of a human decision. Now, this may step on some toes, but let me repeat a sentence I have heard many times with varying numbers, but let me just start off and see if you could finish this sentence for me. We had a Promise Keepers meeting weekend where we took 20 men down to the Promise Keepers weekend, or we had a revival this weekend, or we had a special event at the church this weekend, or we had a FCA cookout with the high schoolers, and on the last night we had an altar call, and we had 10 decisions for Christ. Well, I'm telling you, no, you did not. If that's just the way you're wording it, that's okay. I mean, I understand we have certain colloquialisms that have gotten into our speech, But you don't make a decision to be born again, nor of a human decision. It's not part of your will, as if you made a study of all the alternatives and you looked at Jesus and you gave him enough time to convince you, and then you in your wisdom and your intelligence, you made a decision. John is being very specific. No, you do not make a human decision. You surrender to Jesus. You don't make a decision. Now, there's nothing wrong with studying the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with going down the path of, I want to understand this better. I want to dig deeper. And Jesus will find you and reach you while during that process. But you're not making a decision. It says when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in John 5:39, he said, look, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. You study those scriptures, and then you think you're going to make a decision based on those scriptures. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You don't make a human decision. And then the last one, or a husband's will, and that is literally a human will. There's no willpower. You cannot do this on your own. And that is what Jesus is trying to make clear to us throughout his scriptures. That's what the Holy Spirit is making clear. That's what John wants to make sure we take out of this entire equation. But born of God. You're not born a child of God. He rebirths you. There's no I in it. It's not natural descent. It's not a human decision. It's not human will or a husband's will. As if in a patriarchal society, the father surrenders his life to Jesus and everybody else is included in that. No, it's born of God. In Romans, Paul says, it is not as though God's word has failed, for not all who were descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are descendants are they all Abraham's children, read, children of God. In other words, it's not the children by physical descent who are God's offspring, but the children of the promise. That's what we wanted to cover in the first part of the show. Let's move a little further and go into receive. This is Sam Hunter, 721 Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us. We are working our way through John 1, chapter 1, 11 through 13. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. One last thought on the, it's not a human decision, it's not a natural descent, it's not a husband's will, it's not a human will. I was sitting down with a friend of mine who's very involved in YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and there were three men in the room that all work for YWAM, and they're scattered around the United States, and they represent or work in various areas around the world. And they were asking me about 721 Ministries and how we do men's ministry. And I said, well, we have these meetings once a week in Columbia, Greenville, Spartanburg, and Lawrence. And then, you know, we might have 25, we might have 35, we might have 18, depending on the size and the group. And I said, that's where I do the major teaching and the challenging. And then I try to get men into one-on-one settings so we can talk about them and what's going on in their life and examine together whether they really are getting it or whether they're missing it. So one of the men said, so in that setting, then, if you think they're not born again, then you lead them in the sinner's prayer. And I said, no, I do not. Because I have found early on in doing 721 Ministries that I could sit down with a man and I could logically explain to him that he's missing it, that he's been in church all his life. He may have even taught Sunday school. He may have read the Bible, but he doesn't know Jesus. And more often than not, men will say, you know, I think you're right. I don't. Because they don't. Because they know there's something missing. Well, if it's just me presenting a logical explanation, then the next step is, okay, Sam, I agree with you. I've missed it. What do I do next? Well, let's say the sinner's prayer. And we pray the sinner's prayer. But the Spirit's not moving. It's Sam moving and Sam's logic and their desire to follow the next logical step. So I may have, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 people early on in the ministry that are convinced they were born again because they prayed the sinner's prayer all those years ago. I don't do that anymore. I will tell a man, I would encourage you to go home and start praying. And as you read Scripture and as you talk to Jesus, Jesus, not God, Jesus, not that there is a difference, but clearly God the Father set it up for Jesus to be the catalyst. Talk to Jesus and ask Him if you've missed it. Ask Him to show you if there's something missing in your life, if there's some step you haven't taken, if you haven't surrendered, and where haven't you surrendered, and let Him move in your life. And so this man said, well, you know, that's really interesting because they did a study, and of all the people that came forward at the Billy Graham Crusades, only about 15%, and these numbers, I think these are the numbers that he was using that were accurate, but they're close, only about 15% truly stayed in the faith and were born again. The others, it was an emotional decision or a human decision or however you want to say. And that's still a lot of people for Billy Graham, a lot of people. But he said there was an evangelist who would not do that, and he would not have an altar call. Matter of fact, he would argue with the person and say, you're not ready. You should go home and make sure you understand what's involved in this and make sure that you're ready and make sure the Lord is moving in your life. And he said that man's followers, there was more like an 85%. Because it wasn't a human decision, or it wasn't an emotional decision, it was Jesus moving at the time and in the right timing so that they received Him into their life. So let's take a moment and talk about that. The first big R, received. Yet to all who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. What does that look like? And it looks like surrender. It looks like you open up and you put your hands up and you say, I surrender. I am not stiff-arming you any longer. I'm not trying to keep you out. I receive you as my Savior and as my King. I don't want to be king anymore. I don't want to try to save myself. You're it. I'm out. That's that big first R, capital R, receive. We'll talk in a few moments about all the little R receives, where we let Him come deeper and deeper. We receive Him deeper into our lives. But we'll have, any time this subject of surrender comes up, I will have a man in one of the groups say, that sounds so negative. Surrender, it sounds as if you've been defeated. You surrender to someone who has defeated you. I don't like to think of it that way. And I said, well, okay, that might be because you haven't surrendered. But let's think of it in these terms. Have you been defeated? When you are born again, have you been defeated? You have a new king. So in some senses, yes, you have been. In the sense that you had a previous king. That king may have been you, self, or it may have been Satan, or certainly some combination of it. But that king was defeated. Self was defeated. Not for good, because self is going to keep trying to come back and knock you down and distract you and discourage you, as Satan was going to try to do. But self, or your previous king that was running your life, has been defeated. And you've surrendered that. And so instead of thinking of defeated, I think in terms of liberated. I was under the oppression and thumb of another king, and then when my Savior King came and I surrendered and received Him into my heart, I was liberated. So how do we receive Him so that He can give us the right to become children of God? Well, Jesus spells it out for us. It's really very simple. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Well, like a little child does not sound like someone who made a human decision, an intellectual decision. What does it look like? What is Jesus saying when He says, will not receive the kingdom? What does it look like to receive the kingdom of God like a little child? Well, we could say lots of things. We could say innocence. We could say dependence. We could say in all. But what I think captures the picture the most is a little child. Imagine a 2 or 3 year old child walking into your kitchen and saying, okay, now here's what I bring to the table. What do you, Mom and Dad, bring to the table? Here's my stuff. Here's what I bring to the table. Here's what I got going on. Here's what I'm supplying to this family unit. What are you supplying? See, receiving like a little child means you come to Jesus and you say, I got nothing. Matter of fact, I got less than nothing. I got a bunch of holes inside. I'm not trying to bring anything to the table here. It's not you and I getting together and I'll be on the management committee. I'll let you be in charge, but I'll be on the management committee. No, I bring nothing. The Japanese, at the end of World War II, wanted a negotiated surrender with the United States. Not a full-out surrender, not a complete surrender. They wanted a negotiated surrender. And that's what Jesus is saying. It doesn't work that way. A little child doesn't come in and try to negotiate a surrender. A little child is dependent and totally receptive to their parents' care and control and love. So until you're ready to bear it all, open up your arms and receive him in like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a Oswald Chambers devotion, October the 24th, out of My Utmost for His Highest, where Oswald is talking about Paul and a statement that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 4:9, where he said, "For it seems to me God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena." And the picture there is a Roman emperor or a Roman king coming back into Rome at the head of a parade, and all the slaves that have been captured are behind him in procession. And he's getting this royal welcome. That's the picture that Paul is referencing. And Oswald says this, "Paul's secret joy was that God took him as a blatant rebel against Jesus Christ and made him a captive. And that became his purpose." Paul's secret joy was that God took him as a blatant rebel against Jesus Christ and made him a captive, and that became his purpose. How often are you going to see the word joy and captive in the same statement? Paul's joy was that Jesus took him as a captive. And when you start to appreciate that, when you receive Jesus in that way, and it's the joy. If you have gotten to this point in your relationship, you know exactly what Oswald is saying. You understand exactly that the joy of considering Jesus to be your king as well as your Savior, and you've been defeated. The old self is gone. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. You can feel Paul's joy. Who would have joy in saying, I have been crucified, unless it is with Christ? And I no longer live. I've surrendered. I've received him. But Christ lives in me now. That is the big R, receive. And then you become a child of God, and everything changes. But not everything changes, because there are a whole lot of little R receives that happen thereafter. That as you release and receive Jesus, you release what you're holding on to, and you receive him more and more into the details of your life, into the depths of your life, then you grow closer and closer to him. And I want to take a couple of minutes as we finish this show, and then we will really dig into this next week. So be sure that you listen to both of these shows. We have them on podcast. We have them on our website. We have them on sermonaudio.com. Be sure you don't miss these two receive messages, because you receive him more and more as your Lord, as your master, as your Lord and as your master. And then more and more as the only one who can give you life to the full. You see, we're born empty. We're born with a God-shaped hole, as Blaise Pascal said, that only God can fill, that only Jesus can fill. But we have all these rooms in our lives, in our hearts, and we start filling them from the time we can interact with any other human being in this world. We start filling them with good things, with bad things, and with a whole bunch of filler material. And the sanctification process, all these little R receives that we're going to talk about next week, are you allowing him into those various rooms of your life? Not stiff-arming him, saying, nope, not. I want you as my Savior, but I don't want you as my Lord and my Master in these areas of my life. I want to hold on to these. I want to control these. I'm afraid to let you. That is what we'll talk about next week. And please come back. May you open your heart and your hands to receive the greatest gift in this universe, Jesus Christ. I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.